Well, open your Bibles with me to the book of Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 33. And if you're utilizing the Pew Bible, it's on page 1116. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 33. And I do encourage you to leave your copy of God's Word open as we walk through this passage, as we will refer back to it often during this sermon, during this message. And if you would you stand with me this morning in honor of the reading of the words of our God? Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 33 and reading through verse 37. Again, you have heard it said to those of old, "You shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is His footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your yes be yes, and your no, no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one." Let's pray together. Father God, we thank You for Your Word. Lord, I pray that today You would help us to be people of the truth. Lord, Your Word is truth. You are truth. Your Gospel is truth. And Lord, in a world that is so compromising and compromised on this subject of truth, there are absolutes. Lord, I pray that You would help us to be people who hold on to the truth. Lord, we thank You and praise You for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Today we live under the tyranny of the asterisk. The tyranny of the asterisk. What do I mean by that? Well, just a few days ago, or actually just this weekend, I was watching television and I was paying attention to the ads for a change. Usually you don't even watch those. Usually you kind of check out during that particular time during when you're watching television. But when I was watching television, there was a particular Father's Day ad. And this particular Father's Day ad was trying to sell cell phones. And they had on their free iPhone for Father's Day. And then at the very end of it, it wasn't this big, but there was one of these. Asterisk. And you know what to do when you see one of those. What do you do when you see one of those? You look for the fine print. Or when they get to talking really fast and you have to listen to that and decipher that, because they're telling you something that is super important in that moment. And so what the fine print said on that particular ad was, if you sign up for this particular iPhone and get the free iPhone, you have to sign a 24-month contract at the particular price. And not only that, you have to pay for the phone up front, and then it will be credited back to you over 24 months. And not only that, you got to buy an iPhone, so it's actually a second one that's free of equal or lesser value. And so the asterisk shows you that what they're really trying to communicate is not what they're saying. They are trying to say something else behind the scenes. Their intentions have to be hidden behind this symbol, the asterisk. Now, I'm a huge baseball fan, and if you look at the baseball record books, one of the things that you will see if you look into the baseball record books is you will see that in some of the records in a certain time period in baseball history in the United States, you will see that in those record books under home run leaders and several other categories, you will see names listed there, and next to those names you will see an asterisk. Now, what does that asterisk indicate? It indicates there is something you need to know about this. There's more information behind the scenes of this list. And if you look into what that asterisk means, it typically means that these players were part of the steroid era. And they were part of an era in baseball when people were taking performance-enhancing drugs that were enhancing their abilities to be able to perform, be able to hit home runs, be able to run their bases, be able to do things that you couldn't do without those circumstances. So what does the asterisk show us in our world? What the asterisk shows us is it allows us to interpret something seemingly different than what the words would indicate. It's showing you that the words that are being presented to you, asterisk, actually mean something different, something else. And I know that you sitting here today can think of dozens of other different asterisks that you have seen in your world, that you have seen either in advertising or elsewhere. I love the one that says, do not try this at home, or the actual hamburger is not as big as it is in this picture, or all kinds of different ways that is communicated. And as I was thinking about this message this morning on this passage here in the book of Matthew, I was wondering how many times in our daily lives does our conversation assume that we're really putting an asterisk in the things that we're saying? How many times, if you were really recording, maybe if you were typing out what you said or recording what you say during a particular day, that you're communicating maybe with your wife or maybe with your husband or maybe with your boss or maybe with your kids, as it was typing along, if we were to be honest about that, if we were to be real here, if we were to talk about what really is being said or really is being communicated, what you say is not really what you mean. In fact, you may be hiding something in the background, or maybe you're even trying to deceive someone. How many times in your conversation would that transcriber need to push the shift 8 key and put one of these at the end of your statement? Because you don't really mean what you say. I wonder how many times in social media, or when we're texting, or when we're posting things online, how many times should we really put an asterisk to say, there's really more to it. Life really isn't exactly like this. And so what I want to encourage you today is I want you to be thinking about your conversation over the last week, thinking about your words over the last week, thinking about your character in general, your words that you say to others, the words that you communicate in your job, in your home. And are you a person that lives an asterisk-free life in terms of your communication, in terms of your word? Are you someone who is a person of integrity, a person that can be trusted? Living an asterisk-free life involves two things. It involves integrity and it involves sincerity. What does integrity mean? Integrity is simply this. It means that you are the same throughout. That if you were to cut a piece off of your day or look at your life from a different angle or even from an insider's perspective, that it would be consistent all the way throughout. There are no asterisks needed for your speech, for the way you communicate with your family, with your world. Not only does an asterisk-free life, this life of integrity, this men who love the truth and women who live and love the truth, not only is it a life of integrity, but it is also a life of sincerity. What does sincerity mean? It means that you truly mean what you say, and there is no deception, deceptive intent with your communication. You truly mean what you say. You are sincere. And what I want to do this morning is I want to walk through this passage briefly. I want to walk through this passage in verses 33 through 37 first. And then at the end, at the very end, I want to take it and I want to apply it. I want us to think about answering this question. Why do we need men of truth to rise up today? And why do we as believers value the truth? Is it simply because God said, well, that would be enough, wouldn't it? But in today's world, we need a little bit more than that. We need an understanding of why it is that God tells us to be people, men and women, boys and girls. Why does God call us to live an asterisk-free life? Why does God call us to be people of the truth? And so let's go ahead and walk through this passage, Matthew chapter 5, verses 33 through 37. Let's take a look at what is this, what is Jesus talking about here? Here in this passage, in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, we see that this is actually the fourth of the six antitheses. The antitheses. Remember, we talked about that over the last few weeks. If you haven't here, let me catch you up. So that is six statements that Jesus makes in Matthew chapter 5, where he says, "You have heard it said, but I say to you." You have heard it said, but I say to you. He is quoting either the Old Testament or perhaps the philosophy of the day or perhaps the scribes and the Pharisees, the teachers of the law of that particular day. That's what he's doing in this particular case. And so we've seen four different eras. Jesus talked about anger. Jesus talked about lust. Jesus talked about marriage and divorce. And now here in the fourth one, he's going to talk about truth, about calling you to live an asterisk-free life. There in verse 33, Jesus begins by quoting from the scribes and the Pharisees of the day who are simply summarizing what the Old Testament says. He says there in verse 33, again, you have heard it said to those of old, "You shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord." And that's what they were saying in that day. That basically is a summary of several different Old Testament passages. One of them is Exodus chapter 20 and verse 16. It says this, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." Another one of them is Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 12. It says, "You shall not swear by my name falsely and so profane the name of the Lord your God. I am the Lord." So that tells us something a little bit about truth telling. One of the reasons, we'll get to this in a little bit, but one of the reasons why we tell the truth is because truth is based in the very character of God. Truth is based in the very character of God. And we who are made in the image of God, when we tell the truth, we are saying something about who God is, and we better reflect Him to the world. And when we have to put an asterisk in our conversation, or in our tweets, or in our Facebook posts, or in our text, when we have to put an asterisk on there, we are saying something that is false about the character of God, because we as people made in the reflection or the image of God are reflecting Him falsely to the world. And in fact, when we lie, we are not imaging the God of truth, we are imaging the father of lies, who is the devil. Numbers chapter 30 and verse 2 says it this way, "If a man vows a vow to the Lord or swears an oath to bind himself by a pledge, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth." Now, all of that is true and right, but what the Pharisees did is they took that together along with the desire, the teachers of the law of that day took that together and brought that into a culture where sometimes, I mean, if you just be honest, sometimes there are times when we need to, or at least we feel the need to anyway, when we feel the need to bend the truth or have a way of communicating something that we're not really sincere about. And so the teachers of the law, that they sat down and they thought, how do we do this? We need an out. We need a way to be able to at least show on the surface that we're really sincere, and yet inside we're not. We need a way to be able to put an asterisk at the end of our sentences. Now, in that day, they knew that they could not swear an oath by God, because by whatever you would swear an oath by, that is what you would be held accountable by. So if you swear an oath by God, maybe say to somebody, "Well, so help me God, I'm telling you the truth." You would then be, in that day and today as well, you would be held accountable. You're assuming by your words that God is going to hold you accountable for the content of whatever it is that you are about to say. And a good Pharisee would look at that, I'm never going to take the name of the Lord in vain. So I have to have another way to be able to, I need an escape clause. I need an asterisk to be able to put at the end of my sentences so I can communicate when I want to deceive someone. And so what they would do is, in order to avoid saying the Lord's name in vain, they would add an asterisk to the end of their sentences. It would be like someone trying to sell a car on the internet, on Facebook or on Craigslist. Somebody trying to sell a car and say, it comes with a free tank of gas. But you get it and you realize, or you go and see it and you realize, you didn't put a picture of the Bondo. You forgot to tell me about the zip ties and the bailing wire holding together the engine. And so how would they put that asterisk in their sentence? The way they would do that is they came up with an elaborate set of rules to come up with a list of things that they could swear by that would basically put an asterisk at the end of their sentence. And that's what you see Jesus commenting about here in verses 34 through 36. Verse 34, he gives us an example of one. He said, "But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne." So they were actually in that day swearing by heaven. They're saying, okay, if you don't swear by God, but if you just swear by heaven, then you're okay, and you can use that in order to deceive. "Nor by the earth," in verse 35, "for it is his footstool, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black." You can't make them stay or fall out either. And so, I don't know anything about that, but moving on. And so, not only that, but later on in the book of Matthew, we'll find another passage that talks about this kind of, this very same thing, where the Pharisees were teaching in that day, you can swear by the temple and be fine. But if you swear by the gold in the temple, you are in big trouble. It sounds ridiculous to us today, but I think we do it. When we try to talk in ways where we try to cover up for things that we don't want people to know, or when we've told somebody something and we know we need to tell somebody something else, and then we have to keep track of that and keep that asterisk in our conversation going so that nobody can find out who we really are. The Pharisees in that day were saying all kinds of crazy things. They were saying you could swear by the altar and be fine, but if you swear by the sacrifice in the altar, look out, you're in trouble. And so this whole system of being able to add asterisks to their conversation, it was an escape clause on the ninth commandment. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt be true because you serve a God who tells you the truth. They were looking for an escape clause on how to get out of this. Now, how does the one who is the way, the truth, and the life communicate to us? How does he come to us in this situation? He says to us in verse 37, he says the response to this is, "Let your yes be yes and your no, no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one." What he is saying there is saying, be people of integrity, so much so that when you say something, when you tweet something, when you Facebook something, whatever your social media is, you every time people know that what you say is true, that it corresponds to reality. Why? Because that is the character of God. Now, before we get on to application and to what you see in the rest of your notes, I want to answer the question, is Jesus prohibiting all oaths in society? That's a really important question for us to answer, isn't it? Because in our area, with so many people who work for the government, I used to work for the government too, you, at some point in your life, have held up your hand and sworn an oath. Those of you who have served in the military have held up your hand and sworn an oath. Perhaps some of you have put your hand on the Bible and said that I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. Is Jesus saying that we shouldn't do that? Is Jesus saying that that's sin? We better answer the question, because there are churches who think that very thing. And there's some cults who think that very thing. The Jehovah's Witnesses think that very thing. There's some churches that think that. The Anabaptists taught that. And so what should we do? I'm going to answer that question this way. Jesus wasn't prohibiting civil oaths in this passage. He was prohibiting deception. How do we know that? Well, we know that because right before Jesus' crucifixion, when Jesus was arrested, Jesus testified under oath. And so we know it couldn't have possibly been a sin for Jesus to testify under oath. Not only that, we see Paul in the rest of Scripture. We see the Apostle Paul that he testifies under oath, that he even uses oaths in his communication in the book of Romans and in other places where he even swears on an oath that I am telling you the truth. And in the book of Hebrews, we see that God even swears an oath by himself because there is nothing greater by which he can swear. So what is our responsibility as believers in a civil society? It is in our everyday conversation to be people who have no asterisk in our conversation, who simply tell the truth. But in civil society, when we are required to take an oath, the oath we take is not voluntary, and it changes the situation. Voluntary oaths are taken to enhance the personal credibility and also to communicate something to you that is going on when you are taking that civil oath. When you are taking a civil oath in society, what you are doing is when you take that oath, you are being informed and informing others that what you are about to say will subject you to civil penalties if you are not telling the truth. One of them could be perjury. And so what you're doing in our society, in our world, is you are subjecting yourself to the government. And what they are saying to you is that what you're about to say will be subject to penalty if you do not tell the truth. The oath itself is not a guarantee of trustworthiness. It establishes legal authority to hold a person accountable for dishonesty. And so that's what's happening. So a Christian may freely take an oath when required by law. It is not a voluntary act. It is required in our society to compensate for untrustworthiness in our culture, in our world. In many places, put into place by our founding fathers who knew the nature of humanity. And so when a Christian agrees to take an oath required by law, he or she is displaying respect for the law and authority that is actually consistent with trustworthiness. So if you've ever read that passage and thought, man, I shouldn't have done that, I think you're okay. But what does this mean? What does this all mean for us today? How should men of truth rise up in today's society? Let me give you some application and we'll be done. Why should men of truth rise up? Let's answer the question this way. Number one, men of truth rise up because men of truth serve the God who is truth. Write that down. Number one, men of truth serve the God who is truth. Letter A, the nature of God is truth. The very nature of our God is truth. He is truth from beginning to end. Every aspect of His character is truth. And not only do we see that, but we see in the Bible that every member of the Trinity is shown to us as being true through and through. The Bible shows us that the Father is truth. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 10 says it like this, but the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and the everlasting God. At His wrath the earth quakes and the nations cannot endure His indignation. The Father is truth. Not only is the Father truth, but we also know that the Son is truth. The Son is truth. John 14:6, I already quoted it this morning, but I want you to see it again. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes into the Father except through me. So the very character and the very nature of Jesus is truth. Every word He speaks is truth. Every action He does is truth. He is the very definition of truth. And not only that, but the Spirit is truth. The Spirit is truth. And so John chapter 15 and verse 26 says this, but when the Helper comes, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. The Holy Spirit of God is the Spirit of truth. So God is truth. The Father is truth. The Son is truth. The Spirit is truth. And this triune God of truth, when he communicates to us, he is always speaking the truth about reality. If you have been wandering this world, wondering, is anybody ever going to tell me the truth? I have good news for you. There is one who has never lied. And he always tells the truth. In fact, the Bible says there is some things that it is impossible for God to do. And one of them is, it is impossible for God to lie. God does not lie. He speaks the truth. God speaks the truth. Letter B, God speaks the truth. Write down, speaks. Lots of verses we could go for that. But Psalm chapter 119, verse 160 says this, the sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever. So if you were to put a sigma out in front of truth, or God's word, put a sigma out in front of God's word, every one of them, the sum of all of them, would be true. Every passage, every word, every phrase, all of them would be together true. Every single word is true. And since we serve a God who is truth, Father is truth, Son is truth, Spirit is truth, he speaks truth to us. We who are made in the image of God have certain implications in our lives. Number two, men of truth focused on being transformed by the God of truth to be people who know the truth, love the truth, speak the truth, and live the truth. Men of truth focus on being transformed by the God of truth. So important in a culture of deception, error, and fake news to stand on the reality of truth. Letter A, know the truth. Know the truth. Be people who know the truth. That is knowing a person and knowing his word. John chapter 8 verse 32. You will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Who is the truth? It's a person. It's Jesus. You need to know him. What is the truth? It's his word. He speaks to us truth. So know Jesus and know the word. If you came in here and you didn't know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, if you're not yet a Christian, I want to say to you, I'm glad you're here. And you are here possibly because maybe somebody invited you, maybe somebody brought you, maybe somebody dragged you along, maybe you're here with your dad. But you're not here by accident. I want to tell you that if you are seeking the truth, let me encourage you in that effort. And I also want to tell you that you are surrounded by people who at one time in their lives, and maybe they were younger, maybe they were older, maybe a similar situation as you, we have found the truth. And the truth is a person, and the truth is Jesus Christ. And the truth of the gospel is this, is that we're all sinners, that none of us are truth tellers, that all of us have lived a lie, that all of us live in a world of lies and deception, and all of us have been deceived by the enemy. But there was one who was never deceived. And there was one who was never tricked by the enemy, was never conned by the enemy, was never gave in to a culture of lies. And this one, Jesus Christ, who is God, became man, lived an absolutely perfect life. He is truth. He is absolutely true. And he communicates absolutely truth. But sinful humanity, lying humanity, wicked, deceitful humanity, asterisk humanity, all of us came together and said, we don't like you. We don't like somebody telling us the truth. And so we took that one who is very truth, and we took him and we convicted him for crimes he didn't commit. We lied on him. And he died on the cross, executed painfully and horrifically for a culture that hates truth and a world that's rebelled against all that is real. He died on the cross. He was buried. And yet, the good news of the gospel is he did it because he loves people who are enslaved by the devil, who are enslaved by a lie. And he did it to set you free from the darkness of falsehood and to set you free to love and to know the truth. And here's the gospel. Today, you can know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Will you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved today? Know the truth. Know God's words. Let her be. Love the truth. I love what this psalmist says in Psalm 119, verses 167. My soul keeps your testimonies. I love them exceedingly. I love your word exceedingly. What if you come to that verse and say, I don't really feel it? I don't really love the word like I'd like to, maybe like I used to or like I want to. What do you do then? Maybe some of you are in that position in your own spiritual life. Here's what you do. You turn that verse into a prayer. You look at that and say, God, someone in the past, somebody in your word says they love your truth, they love your word exceedingly, and God, I don't feel it right now, but I want it. Lord, help me to love your word exceedingly. And watch God work in your life. Men, let's be men of the truth who love the truth. Be men of the book. Read it. Listen it. Spend time in it. Study God's truth. You're here. So I know that you are here because you love the truth and you love to hear God's word truth. You know, I love fishing. I love baseball. I love a lot of things in this world. Certainly love my family. But my love for the truth needs to exceed them all. Let her see, live for the truth. Live for the truth. Not only love the truth and put the truth in your heart, but live it out in your life. Delete the asterisks of your life. I love what Kuznets and Posner say in their book on leadership. They say this is their second law of leadership. D-W-Y-S-Y-W-D. Anybody blessed by that? Like, yeah, amen, brother. We need an interpreter. Here's the interpretation. Do what you say you will do. That's the second law of leadership. You want to lead in your life. You want to lead in your organization. You want to lead in your family. You want to lead in the church. You want to lead yourself. Here is the deal. Do what you say you will do. Live the truth. Finally, speak the truth. Speak the truth. Be men who can pull the asterisk button right off your keyboard. No shift 8 is needed to put an asterisk in your conversation because you are men of integrity, men of the truth, men who know the God of the truth, men who know the God who is truth and who seek to live out a reflection of who that God is because that God is living in our hearts by the Holy Spirit of Christ. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 33 through 37 says it like this. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree will be known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Your mouth, your words will delete. The asterisk will come out of your mouth when they will stop coming out of your mouth when they stop being in your heart. The good person out of the good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of the evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word that they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Think about your words over the last week. Are your words in need of an asterisk? Or are you a man, a woman of the truth? And the reality of it is, all of us are in the midst of our own growth. All of us are in the midst of our own sanctification. We all need Jesus. And we all need to grow in this area. But I want to encourage you, there's one place in the world that you can go that has no asterisk. And I'm holding it in my hand. It's God's truth. God's word. And his word says, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Let's stand. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for your word. Lord, your word is truth. You are the truth. You are the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through you. Lord, I pray that we in this room would be people of the truth. For the believers in this room, Father, I pray that you would drive the truth deeper into our hearts. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be people who know the truth, your word, who know the truth, you, and who see a greater reflection, a more clear reflection of the truth in our lives day by day. Lord, help us to be people who more often choose the truth, to speak the truth, to live the truth, to love the truth. Lord, not because it's telling the truth that saves us, but because those who are saved have the Holy Spirit inside of them, leading us to speak truth. And Lord, I pray for those who do not yet know you as Savior and Lord. Lord, I pray that during this time of response, that they would respond to you who are the very truth. You are the very truth and the life. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you don't know Jesus as Savior and Lord and you want to become a Christian, I invite you to come. It's not walking an aisle that saves you. It's trusting in Jesus that saves you. Why don't you come and I'll help you do that today. Or maybe you want to become a part of our church. You want to join our church. Why don't you come as we sing together. Let's sing. Let's respond.